Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Technion Israel Institute of Technology is where some of Israel's brightest minds ask the biggest question of all. What if? What if they could take on the world's biggest challenges? What if they could develop life-changing environmental, scientific, health, medical, and technological discoveries that will make a huge impact on Israel and the planet? But they don't just ask the question, they answer it too. They turn those ideas into reality. They make them happen. To see just some of the incredible things they've achieved, get the Technion Booklet of Wonders at ats.org/wonders. We hope it inspires you to give them your support so they can keep doing what they do best. The American Technion Society. World-changing discoveries by Israel's brightest minds, made possible by you.
Hey listeners, it's Mishi. Last week we released our 50th wartime diary. This week is Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaAtzmaut. And as a way of marking this milestone, and these dates, Yochai Meital and I will have a series of onstage conversations in New York and Cleveland. We'll discuss the process of creating wartime diaries, talk about some of the challenges we've encountered, the dilemmas we've had, the insights we've gained. So if you want to hear what covering the evolving story of this war has been like for us, we'd love to see you at one of our events. All the details are on our site, israelstory.org. And meanwhile, wishing us all calm and peaceful days ahead.
Hey guys, it's Mishi. We know that many of you will be traveling for the holiday this week. Or if you're staying put this year, maybe cooking and getting ready to host. So, as you're doing all that, we wanted to keep you company and make sure you had something to listen to. You know, we work on each one of our episodes for months, sometimes even years. And we interview many, many people, most of whom, for all kinds of reasons, don't end up making it into the final cut. And often we're sorry about that, since we'd like you to hear their voices and their stories, too. So today, as a little Thanksgiving bonus, we're going to air an edited version of an interview we didn't end up using in our most recent episode, By the Rivers of Babylon. It's a conversation with the last rabbi of Baghdad.
I guess the first thing that I'll ask you is, can you introduce yourself?
Okay, I'm Imad Ezra Levy. I was the leader of the Jewish community in Baghdad and the slaughter and the rabbi at the same time. And I have a lot of jobs there.
As often happens, the best one-liner was set off tape. When I asked Imad if he ever thought of changing his name, he immediately smiled. "Are you crazy?" he said. "It's the best name in the world. Just think about it. I'm one of a kind." All the other Imads are Arabs, so none of them is a Levi. And all the other Levis are Jews, so none of them is an Imad. All right, back to the conversation.
I was born in Baghdad in 1965.
So your parents didn't leave with the majority of the Jews?
Yeah. The family of my father, all of them, they left, except my father. He refused to leave.
Why?
He said, "My life is here. I know the people. I feel comfortable. It's good for me."
When you were born, how many Jews were there in Baghdad?
Maybe 5,000, something like that.
And did you live like in a Jewish neighborhood, or who were your neighbors?
No, most of the neighborhood is a Muslim. I feel that's regular. I study in Baghdad, and I have a lot of friends of Muslim and Christian, and Jewish too. Everything is okay.
Did you go to a Jewish school?
Until 5th class. And after that, they closed the school and we go to the public school.
In Arabic?
Everything is in Arabic. We have no Hebrew in the school, but we have English and French. I can read Hebrew, but I can't talk in Hebrew.
Uh-huh. Who taught you to read Hebrew?
My father, he had a record and we listen how you can pronounce the word and try to imitate. And after that, we try to pray.
But you always felt that you were, I mean, a Jew.
Of course. We went to the synagogue. I know I'm Jewish and I feel I'm Jewish and I love Jewish.
So my understanding is that after the Six-Day War in Israel, after 67, suddenly the situation of the Jews became much more difficult in
Iraq. Yeah, of course, of course. After 67, it's more difficult because Israel won the war and they tried to revenge from the Jewish Iraqi in Iraq.
And a lot of people were arrested. Some people were even executed.
Yeah, yeah.
And then what happened to the community in the next 30 years?
During the years of 70, the people, they tried to get out of Iraq. In 1980, maybe we were only 200 Jewish people in Iraq.
As the Jewish community was getting smaller and smaller, did you still go to the synagogue?
Of course, of course.
And did synagogues close as a result?
At that time, we have only one synagogue.
One?
One.
Wow. And what did you know about Israel growing up?
At that time, I'm not know anything about Israel.
The television and the radio in Baghdad, would they give any information or news about Israel?
The news that they want.
Mm-hmm.
But my father was listened to the Voice of Israel.
Your father knew Hebrew? He could understand? What?
No, it's in Arabic. The Voice of Israel,
Kol Yisrael in Arabic.
In Arabic, yeah. But in low volume. He put her ear on the radio because they have no
earphones.
At that time, in earphones. They listen to the all what's happened in the war in 67 and 73. All the times they listened to the Voice of Israel.
And that's how they knew what was going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, of course, there was no internet and no email. And
you know, all the times they listened to the radio. In 1992, the intelligence put me in the blacklist. Not because I'm bad. They want me to stay because I help the Jewish community in a lot of things. When someone died, they need one person to know how to prepare everything. And I was the one who did all this without money.
So how did you get involved in doing these kind of things for the Jewish community?
Because most of them is old. They need some young people to do these jobs.
And you said that you became the butcher, the slaughterer?
I was the slaughterer. I don't like this job. But I learned because maybe the last slaughter, maybe they left Iraq in any time. I want to continue Jewish to have the kosher food, kosher meat. For that reason, I try to do it. I don't like it.
So the previous shochet taught you how to become a shochet?
Yeah, he learned me, and I learned like the halakha, what's the principle of the Jewish.
And did the last shochet leave, and then you became the
shochet? Yeah, he left Iraq in 2002.
So you became the shochet?
Yeah, the slaughterer, yeah.
The slaughterer and the rabbi?
I was the honor rabbi. I do the services. When someone died, we must read in the cemetery. And I try to do the services in the synagogue.
So would you read from the Torah?
Yeah. I learned.
So basically, you every time somebody left who had some sort of job within the community, you just took over that job.
We must serve.
So it was a good thing that the community had you, otherwise they'd be completely
yeah,
lost.
Yeah, yeah. I feel I have a lot of responsibility, but I'm glad to help. I'm glad. I'm so glad.
So how did you become the leader of the community?
We have election.
How many Jews were there at this point in Baghdad?
In 2003, 34.
34 Jews?
Yeah. Not all the 34, they came to vote. But most of them, they want me because they know I can help the Jewish community.
So you were elected to be the actual leader.
Yeah, yeah. I fixed the cemetery. I fixed after that the synagogue, the shelter of the old men and women.
Mm-hmm.
In 2003,
yeah,
I closed the synagogue.
You closed it?
I closed it because I'm afraid they put some bombs and they destroyed all the synagogue and the people.
You were afraid that who was going to bomb the synagogue?
Maybe the Al-Qaeda, maybe the people they work with Iran.
Did you get married?
In Iraq, no. We have no woman. The last marriage in Iraq in 1978, and that's all.
When you say there was no woman, you mean there were no Jewish women?
No Jewish woman.
Uh-huh. And did you have Muslim girlfriends?
It's not like here, the girlfriend. Maybe you talk with her in phone. Maybe once you go outside. It's so terrible. It's not like here. In 2003, my father changed her mind. He wanted to go to Israel.
How old was he then?
83.
So what was it like for your father to make it to Israel? What did he say?
He said, I'm happy I live in Gan Eden. Yeah.
Paradise.
Yeah, paradise, yeah.
Even though your father was now coming to Israel, you still decided to stay in Baghdad?
No, I'm not decided to stay. I was the leader of the Jewish community. I have a lot of responsibility on the Jewish community. I can't leave. I want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Don't believe I'd like to stay in Iraq. I have nothing in Iraq. What I have? I have no future. What's the future? I can't marry. I can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
In 2003, I received an envelope. It was a threat. You are a Jewish. We slaughtered you. My dear friends, Muslims, they gave me guards and police. But now the situation is so dangerous. We are afraid. And you are alone. I told them, okay, help me to get a passport. And I leave Iraq. Without anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I did.
So when did you leave Iraq? What year?
2010.
2010?
Yeah.
And was that the first time that you ever left Iraq?
Yeah, because I have no passport at that time. The intelligence did not accept to get me a passport.
Since you were basically the community, I mean, you were everything for the community.
I think we were only eight people in the community.
Did you feel bad about leaving them there and going?
No. It's my dreams to go to Israel, to the Holy Land.
How did you come to Israel?
I fly to Jordan. From Jordan, the embassy of Israel, they helped me.
What was it like for you the first time that you saw Israel?
I can't tell you what I feel. It's to feel you are safe in your country.
And have you been back to Iraq since then?
No, of course not.
Would you like to go back?
No, they slaughtered me. Most of the people they know, I'm a VIP. I'm not a regular person. They can search on Google, they read about me, they saw all my pictures in Iraq. They slaughtered me.
And now do you think of yourself as an Israeli or as an Iraqi or both?
I'm Israeli, I'm Jewish, but my roots from Iraq.
And you met an Iraqi woman here in Israel, who's now your wife.
My wife, she was born here in Israel, but her father and mother were from Iraq, yeah.
How old were you when you got married?
47. Not young. I spent all the times in Iraq.
Do you still have friends in Iraq?
Yeah. I'm in contact with my friends, of course.
What do you mean? I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of things that you miss about Iraq. Certain foods or certain restaurants that you like or sports teams or friends. Or...
We have everything here. And the most important, we have the kosher food here in Israel.
Do you miss Iraqi hummus?
I'm not eat hummus. I don't like it.
And how many Jews are left today in Baghdad?
Five. Only five.
Five?
That's all.
Five Jews left. Wow.
Yeah.
Who are they? Old people?
57 until 90. Yeah.
So when those five people die, that's it? There will be no more Jews in Baghdad?
We can't expect anything. We don't know.
And now you feel that your job there is done?
Now I'm out of Iraq.
And you feel good?
Baruch Hashem.
Imad, I have one last question. So, you know, we're going to air this on the radio right before the American holiday of Thanksgiving. Do you know that?
Yeah,
you know
Thanksgiving,
that
yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people, when they have their Thanksgiving meals, they go around the table and each one says what they're thankful for. So if I asked you, what are you thankful for? What would you say? What are you thankful for?
I'm thankful I'm in Israel. It's a big miracle. I have a wife and I have a child. I'm working here. I'm with all the Jewish, like a big family here in Israel. Thanks God. To help me to be in Israel.
Yofi. Toda, toda, Imad.
Yofi. En alma.
Yofi.
We hope you enjoyed this little behind-the-scenes peek into the many interviews that don't end up on the show. Zev Levi edited this bonus special. It was an experiment for us, so let us know if you'd like to hear more of these or less, or none at all. Either way, we'll be back very soon with a brand new Israel Story episode. Till then, as always, you can find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all under Israel Story. I'm Mishi Harman, and from all of us here at Israel Story, have a very happy Turkey Day. Shalom, shalom, and yalla bye. Sob ya wai bil ganub jawini bil ganub jawini Tamete ana hayran tul il umur saharan Tamete ana hayran tul il umur saharan ma adri Yeah.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.